Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just be.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and earned a law degree from Wayne State University. 1997 to 2013, he was the chairman of Prison Fellowship International, and since 2010, he's been on the board of Alpha International. Since 1988, his family's foundation has taught 20,000 Ugandan, Rwandan, Tanzanian, and Sudanese children via Cornerstone Development. He's gone to 124 countries to lift up Jesus. The author of Between Two Worlds, his name, Mike Timmis. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with a fascinating man, somebody who's been a mentor to me, I think the world of, and he's gone to 124 countries to lift up Jesus. Mike, welcome, an honor to have you.
Well, thank you, Jack. It's great to be back on your program, and greeting to all your listeners.
Can we start by you offering us an opening prayer, please?
Dear Lord, in this time of dissension, we pray for reconciliation for our country. We pray that people would come together, people learn to forgive, and that people would allow others in the public discourse to disagree without being offended. And Lord, I lift up this great country and the people in it, and I just ask you to bless us in your precious name of Jesus.
We're talking to Mike Timmis. Mike, talk about your parents and the faith they gave you.
Well, I grew up on the Lower West Side of Detroit in an Irish neighborhood, and in a sense, it was a great upbringing. We didn't have a lot. The houses were very close together on 40-foot lots, so everybody knew everybody else's business, but it was a safe neighborhood because our houses were small. We played a lot outdoors a lot and only came back for meals or for homework, and so I grew up learning how to get along with kids and to appreciate family. Our family prayed together every Sunday night at 7 o'clock. We knelt as the seven of us and prayed for the conversion of Russia. And my mother and father are both godly parents.
Describe for us, Mike Timmis in 1982.
Well, in 1982, Jack, I had my partner and I had just weathered the toughest storm we ever had in business. In the early 70s, I formed a partnership with a friend who was with Arthur Andersen, which was then the number one accounting firm in the world. And I was an attorney doing mergers and acquisitions. And we decided that we could do for ourselves what we were doing for our clients. And so we got some backers and we started buying companies. But then, as you recall, during the Carter years, interest rates kept rising, inflation was rampant, and interest rates went up to 21%. Prime interest went up to 21%. And our backers got very nervous and said, "We want you to buy us out." And this was in 1981. And so, the way we raised the money is we went to New York. It was too big a deal for local banks here in Detroit. We went to GE Credit and negotiated a term deal with them at 24% interest. And so we had to guarantee everything we owned, our homes and everything else that we owned. And we had 1 year to make it. And Reagan came in, the economy started booming. Interest rates fell from 21% to 12%. We thought that was zero. Companies were making a lot of money and we were on our own. And so by 1982, I know that we have won the battle and that I should feel fantastic, but I didn't. And I felt very empty, I wondered. I never was interested in making a lot of money, even though I did. What really interested me is being an Irish immigrant son, that I would employ thousands of people. That was a big thing for me. And that was my sort of pie in the sky. But in 1982, I was lonely, I was depressed, and I wondered why I had worked so hard.
All right, your road to Damascus moment, November 10th, 1983. Tell us about that day.
My wife, Nancy, and I, who she's a saint, were not getting along well. It was not her fault. It was my fault. I didn't communicate. I didn't talk about my business problems. And that shut her out of a big part of my life. And the only thing we talked about were our kids. And so she was getting lonely as I was getting lonely. And one day she asked me to go to a dinner. And we had really limited our social activities because we knew we had problems. And I said, what was the dinner about? And ultimately she said, religion. I said, religion? Why would I ever want to go to a dinner and hear about religion? And Jack, to be honest with you, after I said no, till the day I walked into the Country Club of Detroit where the dinner was being held, I have no recollection of agreeing to go. And when I walked in the front door, a friend of mine said, what the hell are you doing here? And I said, I've been brought here by my wife. But that night, I for the first time in my life, I heard a businessman get up and talk about how he had given his life to Jesus and how that had changed him. And I looked at his face. He spoke only for about 5 minutes, and I knew it was true. And I knew he had something I didn't have. And I realized that everything I had was really God's. And I decided to live the rest of my life solely for him and to use the gifts that he had given me to glorify him.
And for the last 37 years, you've been teaching scripture to men all over the world. We're talking to Mike Timmis. When we come back, we're going to ask him how he, his wife Nancy, and son Michael got such a huge heart for the world's poor. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Mike Timmis, the author of Between Two Worlds. Mike, you, Nancy, Michael Jr., tremendous hearts for the world's poor. Why so?
Well, 50 years ago, Jack, I was made a partner in the law firm I was working with, and the youngest partner they ever made, and it was a very big deal. And I came home and I said to Nancy, my wife, I said, you know, God has really blessed us, and now it's a time for us to give back our blessing. And so through a priest, I wanted to help an inner city family. And without going into great detail, I found a family, a widow, she a recent widow who had lost her husband and youngest son, and she had five other children. And I decided maybe I could help her. So I called her one day and I said, I identified myself, and she responded, oh, you want to be a limousine liberal? And I said, well, I don't have a limousine and I'm not liberal. But she said, I said, I would like to help you. She said, well, I need friends. If you want to be my friend, I would love that. And so that started a friendship that lasted over 20 years, and I was able to help them in many ways. And I also learned the struggles of the poor in the inner city. But in the years following, even though I was able to help her, I didn't have the time I wrote checks, but I didn't really get personally involved until later on, once I decided that everything was his, I decided that we should start working in the inner city of Detroit. And I worked with Eddie Edwards and the Joy of Jesus. And at the same time, Nancy and I were doing projects in Honduras, Nicaragua, Peru, with the poorest of the poor. And Michael had graduated from Marquette University in 1988. And in June and the following August, he went to Africa for 1 year. That was his intention. After 1 year, he decided that God did not need another lawyer, but maybe he should stay in Africa and help children, the poorest children. And so he did. He stayed for 7 years, and he started a work called Cornerstone Development. And today, we have over 34 years later, we have over 2,000 kids in schools and homes. And we are affecting young people in three other countries with our programs. And so it's been a tremendous blessing to me. I have to tell you, on my birthday on last November 11th, this is the first time I haven't been in Africa since in 34 years because of COVID. And over 1,000 young people from six countries got on Zoom to wish me happy birthday. We spent an hour and a half on Zoom. It was the greatest blessing I've ever received.
You, Nancy, Michael, Timmis Family Foundation has taught over 20,000 Ugandan, Rwandan, Tanzanian, Sudanese children via Cornerstone Development. Mike, what have these young kids taught you?
Well, first of all, they taught me humility. They taught me friendship, about friendship. We have you have to realize that Africa went through some very difficult times, particularly with the AIDS as well as armed conflict. And many of these young people did not have fathers or mothers. And so in many ways, we became parents, and now in some sense, grandparents to these young people. And they are extremely affectionate. And we get letters all the time. I will give you this one incident. I was Nancy and I were in London after returning home on our way home from Africa, checked into hotels. We were unpacking the registration call and said, there's a man here that wants to see you. And the way he pronounced his name, it sounded like Japanese. And I had not been to Japan for a while, and I wondered who it could possibly be. So I went down to the registration, and sure enough, there was one of our Ugandan graduates there. And many of them call me Maze, which means honored old one. He said, Maze, I am a developer for the borough of Kensington here in London, and I have four children, and through the bamboo jungle, I learned you were coming to London. And he said, I just wanted to say to you, thank you. If it wasn't for you, I would be back in a village in central Uganda with no hope, no prospects. And now here I am here in Kensington, helping, really fulfilling my dream.
God sends us angels if we allow it. That's how he talks to us, if we're open to it. And one of those angels that he sent you was the late, great Chuck Colson. Tell us about Chuck Colson.
Well, Chuck Colson was one of the most interesting men I've ever met. Chuck went to jail during the Watergate crisis, but he wasn't involved with Watergate. What he did was he engineered the stealing of the Pentagon Papers, and for that he went to jail. He came out of jail, I'll try to shorten the story, and he decided just before he went into jail, he had given his life to Jesus. And through some friends who had come around him, they prayed together, and he decided that God was calling him back to prison, and that he wanted to help prisoners be rehabilitated, etc. And that started Prison Fellowship, which has now affected tens of thousands of people in prison and out of prison. And what Chuck was able to accomplish is, I'll just give you an example. Today, Prison Fellowship is in 48 states. We reached over 500,000 prisoners last year through different programs. We are, when I left Prison Fellowship International, we were in 129 countries. And so I can't think of any ministry. First of all, there is no movement to help the least left and lost who are those in prison, like Prison Fellowship in the world. There are many movements that help prisoners, but nothing as pervasive as Prison Fellowship has become. All because of the inspiration of Chuck Colson.
We're talking to Mike Timmison from 1997 to 2013. He was the chairman of Prison Fellowship International. Mike, talk about the poorest of the poor, the prisoners throughout the world.
Well, Jack, it's hard to believe. Going into prison, people say, well, what do you say when you go into prison? And I always, first of all, I ask permission to speak to a prisoner. Secondly, I mean, I've talked to individuals and to groups. But I always, if I'm talking to an individual, I always ask their permission. I say, my name is Mike, and I'd like to talk to you. And they say, would always say, either in English or through an interpreter, why do you want to talk to me? And I would say, because a friend of yours has sent me here. And said, who would you know that I know? And I said, well, I happen to know your best friend. And your best friend happens to have a name that you may have heard. His name is Jesus. And let me tell you what Jesus has done for me and why he sent me here. You know, Jack, in all the years of doing this, I've spoken during a riot in the Jamaican prisons. I've gone to death row for 20 straight years in Uganda. I've been in death row in Huntsville, Texas. Not once has anybody said, I don't want to talk to you. And I have had many experiences. That has changed me deeply because it is very humbling. And to be honest with you, there are very evil people in prison. There are people who've made terrible choices, done bad things without question. But I found very few evil people. There are some, but not the majority are not. And so to reach out to them with friendship and love and telling them how they can receive forgiveness, that's a big deal.
If you want to learn more, www.prisonfellowship.org. Currently, there's 2.3 million prisoners in America. There's 50,000 in Michigan alone. We're talking to Mike Timmis, and I'm Jack Rasul. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul. We're with Mike Timmis, who's an evangelical Catholic. And if you want to learn more about him, Nancy, and Michael's foundation, www.cornerstonedevelopment.org. Mike, Catholicism is dying in Western Europe. It's receding here in America, but it's on fire in Africa. Why so?
Well, I think, Jack, because they focus more on the person of Jesus than his humanity. And the Africans have suffered much, and they understand the suffering Jesus and why Jesus suffered for us. It's very interesting. You go to Africa, and you do not have the sense of division, the alienation that you feel here. And it's not just our schools, and we've been very careful to be inclusive in our schools across tribes, for example. But everywhere I've gone in Africa, going into prisons and the different countries I've visited besides the ones we're involved in, I have found a different spirit. And I think, you know, we've been, we are so materialistic in the West, and we're so impatient in the West, and we're so intolerant in the West. There's much more tolerance in Africa. And I think there's a gentleness that does not exist here. And I think it's all because, I mean, the kids there talk about Jesus like we talk about football. And I think that is the major difference I see. They certainly have a much more communal sense and looking out for each other than we have here.
A number of years ago, you wrote me your philosophy of life. I'd like to read a little bit of it to you. The number one problem in the world is alienation. Race against race, nation against nation, husband against wife, parent against child. Wherever I see dysfunction, I also see alienation. I believe the only antidote for alienation is forgiveness, which leads to friendship and ultimately to love. Talk about that, Mike.
Well, you know, I have traveled throughout the world, throughout this country and throughout the world, talking about alienation. And sadly, I see more alienation in our country more than ever before in my life. And it is the lack of tolerance that people have here. And if you happen to say the wrong thing, you could live a life like Mother Teresa and say one bad thing that you didn't mean to say, and you'll be crucified for it, and your whole life will be meaningless. And I think that that's wrong. And I think that we should learn how to forgive. I don't see much forgiveness. I see the media not fostering forgiveness, that's for sure. I think it throws gasoline on the fire of intolerance. And I think that unless we learn that we have to accept people who disagree with us, and that we can learn how to differ with dignity and friendliness, we're going to continue to have major problems. And this spills right over into families. I mean, I see this lack of tolerance affecting even marriages and families. I move a lot amongst people, and I see certainly this is the number one problem. If you go back to the word division, if you take it far enough back, the root of the division means is the devil, to divide. What Jesus came to unite, and the devil came to divide. And I know a lot of people don't believe in the devil. I do. I've seen the genocide in Rwanda. I've been in prisons that would remind me of Nazi Germany. I've seen terrible things in the last 40 years. But I also have the good always outweighs the evil. And I've seen people going into prisons of the world. By the way, I've never met anybody working with the poor or going into prison that wasn't a follower of Jesus. I'm not talking about denomination. I'm just talking about belief.
Our young people have this three-letter BFF, best friend forever. And you've got the best friend forever. You've told us for 37 years, everyone that will listen, we all have the same best friend forever, Jesus. Tell us about Jesus.
Well, you know, all my life I have been a believer, but I was an Old Testament Catholic. I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and strength, but it's hard to love the divine because the divine is a mystery. And so it was one step forward, one step back. And then the night I gave my life to Jesus, I started studying who he was in the Gospels. And as a matter of fact, in the last 37 years, I have never spent a day where I didn't read something about Jesus in the Gospels and how he thought, how he talked, how he acted, and how he loved. And that was so life-changing for me, Jack, that to become like him, I learned how to love him with my heart, soul, strength, and mind. And that was the big difference in my life, is to get to know him. Let me use this example. If you say, I know Timmis, well, people don't think that you're a close friend, but you say, I happen to know Mike. All of a sudden, they think that you really do know me. And that's the way it is with Jesus. We most of the time we use the word Christ, Lord, God, whatever, but the power is in the name Jesus. I have seen it all over the world. Whenever I've been in Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Oman, and places that you would think that, well, they're not going to listen to you. Every single time that I've gone there and talked about Jesus and that how whoever I'm talking to is loved by him, there's almost a supernatural transaction of grace because of the power of the name Jesus.
Twice you and Nancy, once in 89, one in 94, met with a living saint, Mother Teresa, down in Calcutta, India. Talk about what you learned from her, Mike.
Well, talk about learning about humility. I mean, she was the most incredible person that we have ever met. And I would say it was like meeting Jesus because she couldn't say a sentence almost without using his name. And if you wanted to be with Mother Teresa, she had no office. If you wanted to be with her, you had to go with her. In other words, she had a number of places. Just there wasn't one big operation. There were a number of what you would call little homes throughout the slums of Calcutta. And Calcutta is all slums. You cannot believe what it is like in Calcutta. If you went to a University of Michigan football game and you were coming out at the end of the game and the 106,000 was coming out, and you're surrounded by people, that's the way it is in Calcutta 24 hours a day. And she would move amongst these people and have these houses. Mother Teresa taught me first about prayer. And I had asked her how much she prayed in the morning. She said 2 hours and 2 hours at night. She said, but I'm not married like you and I don't have a job like you do, et cetera. And later on we were walking and she said to me, I told you I spend, she said, I really don't spend 2 hours and 2 hours. She said, what I really do is I think I'm praying all the time. And I have begun to understand that as I get older, that, I feel the presence of Jesus all the time. And I have micro bursts of prayer. And she said, just think of what we're talking about. She said, if you work and do your job well, that's a prayer. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, that's a prayer. And I believe that. I teach that, and I believe that no matter where you're called, if you do it to the best of your ability, that is a prayer to God.
We're talking to Mike Timmis, and since 2010, he's been on the board of Alpha International. And we'll ask him about Alpha when we come back. And I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible. Anything. Of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Anything is possible.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Mike Timmis. Since 2010, he's been on the board of Alpha International. Mike, what is Alpha International?
Well, actually, Alpha is a program. It's not, there is an organization that promotes the program, but it really is a program to lead people into the knowledge of who Jesus the Christ is. And it started in Holy Trinity, Brompton, an Anglican church. And but for the last 15, 18 years now, it has spread across the world. Over 30 million people have taken the course. It is a 10, depending on how it's given, 10 to 11 weeks. The first week is, who is Jesus? And then the second week is, why did he come? And it's built around fellowship and food and discussion, much like the book of Acts, if you read chapter 2 of the book of Acts. And what the whole purpose is, here, let people talk about who they think he is. And then there's a little video that explains who Jesus is. But then it opens up and you're sitting with 10 or 11 people in a circle, and you discuss amongst yourself what you really think. And I've seen many people who come in and say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in anything. I think this is kind of an interesting exercise. And at the end of it, they have this Damascus Road experience, as you would call it, and they meet Jesus. But it's the most effective evangelization program. It covers every church from Assemblies of God to the Catholic Church, every Protestant denomination, every independent church. It is the only true ministry that I have observed that is really into unity. And there is no preference of denomination or way of thinking of things. Everyone is open. Everyone is welcome. And it's an amazing program.
Speaking of being welcome, from 97 to 23, you were the chairman of Prison Fellowship International. You went to 120 countries on your own dime, and you met with dictators, prime ministers, presidents from Muslim countries all over the world. How did they react to you, Mike?
Well, interesting, Jack. It's maybe hard for people to believe. I never had an argument with one person that I talked to. I mean, I think that I didn't go as a Christian or any ism. I went as a follower of Jesus. And I think if I had not talked about Christianity or Catholicism or Protestantism or whatever, I would not have had a chance to talk to them. But in talking to them about Jesus, something happens. And I that I went over during the Balkan War and I met with Milosevic, who was the head of Serbia and ultimately went to The Hague and was tried for genocide. You would think that he would not want to talk to somebody like me. And when I walked into his office, he said, you have 15 minutes and tell me what you want to tell me. 2.5 hours later, he called in his foreign minister and he said, repeat to me what you have. He said, why have I never heard about this Jesus? He said, you know my family? I said, yes. He said, you know, my father was in the Orthodox seminary and committed suicide. I said, I understand that. He said, well, why have I never heard about the Jesus you're talking about? And that has been really, I have talked to dictators. I've talked to people who are guilty of terrible things. But for some reason, I've talked to communists, and they were always open after I think because when you take the love of Jesus, it changes everything.
Speaking of the love of Jesus, the humanness of Jesus, just when you think there's no hope, God brings some magic. And this Chosen, that over 200 million people in the world have watched. So far, there's 16 episodes. They want to do 8 seasons. It's 2 seasons are complete. What's impressed you so much about the Chosen?
Well, I think, thankfully, you sent it to me, and my Nancy and I and my family and my grandchildren are watching it. I think it brings home the humanity of Jesus. And I think that the love, the reason he came to love people, to his Father, I think it, more than anything I've ever seen, it brings out the humanity of Jesus and the love he has for everyone, no matter who they are, saint or sinner. And I am just so excited that this is being done, and I hope they do all 8 seasons.
All right. You've told me a lot of things. One thing I've repeated maybe 500 times, and that's the dark is getting darker, but the light is getting lighter. Please.
Well, you see if you watch the news, Fox News, SBC, whatever it is. I mean, I don't watch those programs because all you're hearing is dark, and I don't want to fill my mind with it. And so I see the light. I know so many people doing so many wonderful things, so many people caring about others, so many movements in this city. It's unbelievable. And that doesn't get any publicity, but it's going on. And the promise is that the light will always take care of the darkness. And we are called to be the light of the world. And therefore, as we move, if we move with the love that Jesus has given us, we become lights, and we are attracted. People are attracted to it, whether they believe or disbelieve or don't believe. They are still attracted to. I have found that many people come to me, and they don't necessarily believe what I believe, but they're attracted to me because they want to hear what I have to say, because there is something about the light that attracts people.
All right, as our time winds down together, talking about hearing what you want to say, would you share with us your most recent meditation, please?
Well, I'd be glad to, Jack. And I'll just read it to you. I've come to understand that Jesus talks to me all the time. No, I'm not a visionary, but I am a husband, a father, a grandfather. I hear his voice when my wife, son, and grandchildren speak to me. Jesus comes to me in the disguise of my family members and others. I meet him daily, asking me to love him in them. Sometimes his voice comes as my wife needs comfort from a disturbing diagnosis. Sometimes Jesus comes in a request for financial help from someone. Sometimes his voice comes when someone tells me what I don't want to hear. Sometimes he wants to talk to me even though I'm busy. Sometimes he tells me to go with him to see a friend who is dying. Sometimes he asks me to show him love when I am too tired to help anyone. I don't always recognize the voice of Jesus, but I pray to hear better and tell him what the prophet Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening."
Mike Timmis, you've been an angel in my life for 30 years. I'm a different man because of you. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Jack. God bless you, brother.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Prisula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.
Believe in yourself.